The gospel lesson for the first Sunday of Advent is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. This is Jesus speaking to the crowd. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Each year, Advent begins with some variation on today's lesson. We read the same story in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus proclaiming that the temple will be destroyed and then giving an apocalyptic vision of how it will be. So this is our annual reminder that Christianity was born in the stream of thought called apocalyptic messianic eschatology. Now those are some big words, so let's break it down. Eschatology refers to the eschaton, which is the end of the age, or more broadly, the end times. Just how will history come to an end? Well, there's lots of possible answers, which are all forms of eschatology. Apocalyptic means the same as revelation. It refers to a revealing of the hidden plans of God. It reflects a belief that God knows how the age will end. It reveals parts of the plan to chosen individuals. Messianic is a particular eschatology that believes an anointed son of David will usher in the new age. Jesus of Nazareth was not the only man who claimed to be the Messiah, which in Greek is the Christ. There were many messianic figures in the century before and the century after Jesus lived, and indeed throughout history. The most recently, it was the Lubavitcher, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, who died in 1994. Some people claim that he was the Messiah. So Jesus was not the only man who claimed to be or was called the Messiah, but he's the only one whose movement long outlived him. Jesus lived during a particularly active period of apocalyptic literature. Much of the New Testament shows signs of apocalyptic thought. It's most obvious in the book of Revelation, but also pops up in letters like Jude and Thessalonians. The early Christians were immersed in this stream of thought and recognized that Jesus was the Messiah that they were waiting for. There were three main eras when apocalyptic prophecy emerged. The first era was called proto-apocalyptic, and it was around the time when Solomon's temple was destroyed and there was the Babylonian exile. The ancient Israelites believed that God lived in the temple, and so when it was destroyed, it sure felt like the end of the world, or at least the end of the age. Prophets like Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, and Daniel reassured the people that yes, the destruction of the temple is bad, but don't worry, it'll be rebuilt. Well, they were right. The exile ended and the temple was rebuilt, but Israel never attained its former glory. Judah was a province within the Persian Empire and then was ruled by the Greeks. After a brief period of independence, they were conquered by Rome, and then the second major period of apocalyptic literature began, a time when it really flourished and developed. From the second century BC through Jesus' time and a little beyond, several messianic movements grew and flamed out, and many apocalyptic books were written. Rome was the evil empire that stood for everything the Jews were against. They could not reconcile Roman rule with divine sovereignty. Then the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, and the third major era of apocalyptic writing began, some of it ending up in our New Testament. Jews thought they had witnessed the end of the age and were trying to make sense of the new world they were living in. Eventually, some of them, our progenitors, realized that the destruction of the temple freed God from its confines and that God was now present everywhere through the body of Christ, which is the church. Now, I don't take any of the apocalyptic writings literally. I'm not a fire and brimstone preacher threatening you all with a lake of fire or anything like that. But I do take it all seriously and try to understand how it applies to today. Once in a while, I get discouraged and I start to wonder if we are in the end times now. I wonder, when historians reflect on the 21st century, when will they say that World War III began? Will they say it began on October 7th, 2023, when Hamas invaded Israel? Will they say it began on February 24th, 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine? I don't know. What I do know for sure is that we are going through a great realignment and a great revolution in the world order. Recently, I listened to a Freakonomics podcast with Fareed Zakaria, a political commentator who was trying to explain what happened in the presidential election and what has been happening around the world. He argued that we are going through a realignment where the two main schools of thought are open versus closed. The old notions of political right and left are no longer relevant and are being replaced with different perspectives on how open each nation should be to trade and immigration and technological and cultural change and so forth. One of the early examples was Brexit, when the UK decided that they wanted less openness with the rest of Europe. Another podcaster said that really the story of global politics in 2024 had been one of turning out the incumbents, a vote for change. Among those who are voting for change, some want to reform our institutions, and some want to burn it all down and replace the failing institutions with something better. I can't say that either open or closed is the right answer, and I can't say what needs to change and what needs to remain the same. But I can say that new coalitions are forming and new understandings of how the world works are developing. I expect the transition will be very painful for some people, for whom this will indeed feel like the end of an age. But I think that really these end time prophecies speak to each person, each institution, each community, and each nation all the time. Every day, the things we thought would last forever are fading away, dying, changing, transforming into something new. A metaphor used elsewhere for the end of one age and the start of the next is birth pangs. Something good comes after the turning of the age, but the process sure is painful. Relationships are broken and remade. People face poverty, violence, sickness, and death. Institutions and nations go through cycles of growth and decline, sometimes ending in collapse before something else is built on their rubble. This is the reality that Jesus witnessed and that so many other prophets have witnessed as well. They all saw that the world was on the wrong path, a path that leads to destruction. Maybe soon, maybe later, but eventually. So John the Baptist came proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Repent. Turn from your ways. Turn towards the plan that God has in mind for you and your community. If you choose not to follow God's plan, you can expect awful results. But if you choose to follow where Christ leads, you may experience those birth pangs from the creation of a new era, but Christ will be with you the whole time, and the destination is worth the journey. Because in the end, God wins. That is the persistent message of the whole Bible, and especially the apocalyptic literature. Things may look bad now. The wicked may profit while the righteous suffer. Bad things happen to good people. Organizations who seek to improve the world are stymied at every turn. But eventually, righteousness and loving kindness will win. Eventually, God's justice will prevail and the righteous will be rewarded with God's eternal presence. And eventually, God's mercy will prevail and reconcile all things. God will purge the wicked of their wickedness and the sinners of their sinfulness, and God's love will conquer hatred and anger. Eventually. We are on a winning team. I know that sometimes you can't tell. If you read any studies about the state of mainline Protestant churches, seems like we're losing pretty badly. The membership of PCUSA declined by nearly 62% from 1983, when the denomination was formed by a merger, until 2021. 62%. I would guess that it's declined more since then, especially due to the aftermath of the pandemic. And that sure feels like losing. But you know what? Jesus didn't say to his disciples, "Go therefore and build a bunch of church buildings with organs and pews and worship me on Sunday morning." He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." Not that what we're doing here today is wrong. There's nothing wrong with what we're doing, but it's not the only way to participate in God's work in the world. We are on a winning team. The forces of evil and death are hard at work. They're at work in the Middle East, in Europe, and in places like Myanmar and South Sudan. They are at work everywhere desperate people give in to their worst instincts. They are working through the meth dealers and the fentanyl makers. And yet God is also at work. God is present and empowering the work of the Rolla Mission, Grace, Russell House, and many other organizations in Rolla. God is at work in a million homes that are filled with love, homes where families were able to reconnect and reconcile this Thanksgiving. Bad news sells more and travels faster than good news, but I know that God is working hard to counteract the forces of evil in the world. We are on a winning team. We may not have the flashiest worship services, though we do have the best choir director in town. We may not have the newest or fanciest building. We may not have the resources we once did, but we have something more important and more valuable and more powerful: love. We have God's love flowing through us and connecting us to each other and the community. We just have to tap into that flow and ride with it to experience God's transformative work in the world. Because we are on a winning team, so act like it. So many churchgoers are functional atheists. They say that they believe God is powerful and can change lives, but then they act like God is irrelevant. Act like we need marketing slogans and advertising and glitz and glamour, when all we need is to let God work through us. To continue the sports metaphor, you can imagine the church as a football team. Perhaps I'm the quarterback, but I'm not the coach. God is the coach, and God has a game plan that will be successful if we all buy into it. God, as the coach, speaks to all of us and helps us all become the best we can be, the best contributors to the plan. God speaks to all of us if we will only listen and follow. Today, this first Sunday of Advent, we lit the hope candle. We have been entrusted with the message of hope that Jesus brought to Judea some 2,000 years ago. Jesus said that the temple would be destroyed, but everything would be okay. He said that people would faint from fear and foreboding, but that we should instead stand tall and raise our heads, for our redemption is near. He said that when you see the forces of evil and death seemingly victorious, that's actually the dark before the dawn of God's grace. So keep alert. Don't worry about tomorrow, but do work towards a better tomorrow. Watch for opportunities to share God's love, ways that you can participate in God's work, ways that you can be a part of God's winning team. Listen for God's coaching as God transforms you into the person God knows you can be. Like the prophets before us, speak truth in a world full of lies, the truth that love will conquer all. And be confident that Christ will walk with you each day, strengthening you, encouraging you, and shining light on the path that you must walk to serve his kingdom. Amen.